1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we're going to read two verses there, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. I want to thank everyone for your prayers again while I was away. Had a great meeting. Enjoyed being in North Bay. Also enjoyed for the first time going to Sudbury. Continue to pray for that. They'll be there tomorrow preaching the Word of God. We had an opportunity to see the building that they're renting. It's a really nice church building. It's owned by a Chinese evangelical group, and they pay just very little amount of money. I think it's a couple hundred bucks a month for using it. We were able to go down in the basement and have lunch down there and prayed in the facility as well. And so I bring you greetings from Near North Baptist Church. Thank you for praying. Thank you for those of you that were here on Sunday. Thank Pastor Nathan preaching and teaching, and Brother Coates preaching on Sunday afternoon. And then, of course, thank you for your participating in the walk-through baby shower. Kind of like drive-through baby shower, only it was walk-through. Our first ever. I'm not going to say our only, but we're bound to have another one like that maybe. Who knows? Although, yes, we do. We've got another baby coming in July. That's right. And so thank you for those of you that were able to participate in that. And praise the Lord for what we can do in these days. All right, if you have your Bible open, I'm going to read two verses, and then we'll pray and we'll let you be seated. 1 Corinthians 10, we're going to read verses 10 and 11. All right, 1 Corinthians 10, 10 and 11. Ready? I'm going to read them, you just follow along. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Neither murmur ye. I'd like to speak to you this evening on this theme, blessed, but still grumbling. Blessed, but still grumbling. Heavenly Father, thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the testimonies, the praises, the missionary highlights. Now for your word, Lord, I pray that it would be exalted and you'd help us to apply this principle to our life. I think right now we really need to apply it. And I pray you'd help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Would you go with me now to the book, the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Old Testament book of Numbers, and we're going to now read what Paul was talking about. In that passage in 1 Corinthians 10, he's giving a list of things. We're going to come back to that. Should have told you to hold your place there. But now we're going to go to the Old Testament passage and the actual scenario that Paul is writing about, the group of people that Paul is writing about. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, what's the next word? Murmured. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, but he was writing about the children of Israel. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Notice the exclamation point after Egypt. It means they weren't just whispering it. They were passionate about it. They were passionately murmuring. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. Same exclamation point. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. The word murmur means to grumble or complain. Grumbling and gratitude are two conflicting words. They're conflicting, meaning they're opposites of one another. If I am prone to grumble and murmur and complain, these are all synonyms of one another, I am not going to be very grateful. However, if I have gratitude, if gratitude is in me, then I will not be one that is found to be grumbling, complaining, or murmuring. I wonder tonight, do you complain or do you grumble that roses have thorns, or are you thankful that thorns have roses? It's all in how you look at it. You know, right now we could look at a lot of things and we could grumble, we could murmur, or we could complain. Or we could look at it a little bit differently and we could be grateful for the different things that God has continued to do in our life. It really comes down to an attitude issue, right? Gratitude is a attitude. So you have a choice to make, and I have a choice to make, because everyone that is listening to me tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, I can tell you one thing I know for sure. You are blessed. I can tell you right now, I am blessed. Even if you're unsaved, I'm going to say this, you are blessed. Why? Because you're still alive. That's a blessing if you're unsaved, by the way. See, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and you were dead, you'd be in hell for all eternity. There's no blessing in hell, folks. So if you're unsaved tonight and you're watching this or you're watching it later, then you're blessed because you're still alive and God wants you to be saved. God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I even believe that I believe that unsaved people are blessed because they're still alive. But Christian, tonight, for sure, we as God's people, there are numerous reasons why we are blessed. Now, the children of Israel, some of us know this. If not, it's good for you to know this, spent approximately 400 years in bondage. 400 years building bricks in Egypt. 400 years as slaves. Remember, Joseph went to Egypt and a lot of great things happened, but then there was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph and the bondage came. Now, a few days of freedom and you would think that they would be rejoicing and praising the Lord and having just a fit there in the wilderness because they're not making bricks anymore and God has taken care of them. But it only took a few days and there's complaining and grumbling and murmuring from the nation of Israel. Why? Because they didn't have everything that they had in Egypt. Yeah, I know. They didn't have a taskmaster anymore. They didn't have to do the work that they were having to do in Egypt. And they were blessed, but they were grumbling. Wonder how many of us tonight could say, you know what, Pastor? Lately, in some areas of my life, I know that I'm blessed, but I've been grumbling a little bit too much. By the way, any grumbling is too much. Any murmuring is too much. That's what the word means. Look it up. Murmur, it means grumble or complain. When the chorus of despair went up in the wilderness, everyone joined in. We'll talk about that in a minute. Their greatest fears were being realized. Losing their perspective, the people were caught up in the emotion of the moment, forgetting what they knew about God's character. You see, if you and I would be reminded anew and afresh of the character of Almighty God, the love of Almighty God, the grace and mercy of Almighty God, the goodness of Almighty God in our life, then really we have nothing to grumble about. We have nothing to complain about. Absolutely nothing. The time spent complaining by the nation of Israel could have been spent moving forward, getting closer and closer and closer to the promised land. Instead, their grumbling would end up leading them to 40 years of wandering, and everyone over the age of 20 years old would not go into the promised land. That's not really the whole story, except Caleb and Joshua, by the way. They were blessed, but they were grumbling. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, because we might think, you know, okay, complaining and grumbling, Pastor Turner, and, you know, murmuring, it's not that bad, is it? Well, I don't know. Let's see what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10. We read a few verses, but Let's go back over here to verse number 6, which says, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as though they also lusted." Verse 7. "Neither be ye," what's that next word, church? "Idolaters, as were some of them," referring to the nation of Israel. "As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." In our Bible reading today, on our some of you are on the Bible reading group that we have. That's where we were reading in Exodus today. We were reading about where Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments. Aaron is down below, and Moses is a little bit delayed, you know. And the people are like, "Whatever happened? Where's Moses? Is he coming back? Or is he, you know, is he dead or whatever?" And Aaron, you know, says, "Well, you know, give me all your gold earrings and all that." And that's the most hilarious, sad, but most hilarious thing that he says to Moses later on. He says, "I took all the earrings and I threw all the gold into this molten pot, and then out came a calf, you know, out came a golden cow. It just walked out of the fire," you know. And we know that's not true, but that's what we were reading today about false idol worship. So Paul says to the church at Corinth, don't be into idolatry. Verse 8. "Neither let us commit fornication." This is sexual sin. "Immoral behavior," he said, "as some of them committed." And this was with the Moabite women, in reference to going back in time there. So he says, avoid idolatry. Now, I think most of us would say, idol worship, that is a no-no. You know, that's what they did in the nation of Israel. And, of course, we may not have a golden calf today, but we have our idols. And I think we would say, yeah, that's pretty big, right? And then, verse number 8, Paul says, and by the way, don't be involved in fornication. Don't be involved in sexual sin. Don't be involved in immorality and adultery and all these things. And I think, obviously, we would agree, again, that this is, you know, if we're going to be ranking sins, you know, I don't know that we need to do that, but I understand different sins have different punishments and different things that come from them, but those are pretty high up there, aren't they? But then, within the context of that very same list, Paul says in verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Would we put complaining, murmuring, would we put grumbling alongside a list like idolatry and fornication? I don't know that we would. I don't know that we would look at it and say that they should be mentioned within the same breath as these big sins, so to speak, but God did. God told Paul to write exactly like this and put it in this order and emphasized it. And so tonight, I want to encourage you to take the attitude of grumbling and complaining and murmuring very seriously. Somebody came up to you and said, "I've got to talk to you about sin in my life, and it's kind of private, I'm ashamed of it, and you know, I've got this idol over here, and I've been secretly worshiping this little idol. His name is Buddha." You know what you would say, and I would say, "Get that out of your house. Destroy that thing. You can't. That's against the Bible to have an idol in your home and to be worshiping anything other than the one true God." And we would say, "Get it, you know, burn it, get rid of it." If somebody came up to you tonight and said, and I'm not making fun at all, I'm making a point here. If somebody came to you tonight and they know they love you, they trust you, whether it be a family member or somebody in the church, and said, "Pastor, I've got a problem I need to tell you about. There's a sin in my life, and I want victory over it, but there's a sin in my life, and explain to me some kind of a sexual sin." We would take that very seriously, as we should. But if somebody came and said maybe to me tonight or to you tonight, I need you to help me. I've got a problem with murmuring. I got a problem with complaining. I got a problem with grumbling. And you understand where I'm going with this. Most of us would not look at that thing and say that it has the same weight as a Buddha statue or someone involved in a sexual sin. We would say, this isn't quite as bad, but I would submit to you tonight that God emphasizes it for us. And so it's emphasized in Numbers. It's emphasized here. It's emphasized elsewhere. And so I want to challenge you that as we are blessed, that we don't want to be blessed and yet be known as someone who's a murmurer or a grumbler. Grumbling or complaining, several things. Number one is saying God isn't a good provider. Philippians 4, 18 and 19, if you'll jot that reference down. Philippians 4, 18 and 19, the Bible says, but I have all and abound. Paul said, I am full. Isn't that great? I am full. As a believer, we are fully blessed of God. He said, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, the church at Philippi had sent things by Epaphroditus to Paul, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Here it is. But my God shall supply. I emphasize those three words. God shall supply all your need. All right? You know what I'm about to say. Not all your greed. That's not what it says in the King James Bible. It says all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so I look at what I have tonight, and you look at what you have tonight, and we look at what God has done for us. And if we are grumbling and we are complaining, we are saying, God, you are not a good provider. If we look at what the Jones have and the Smiths have, and we look at what this person has, and we get covetous and we want more and more and more, and we're complaining, and if I only had this or only had that, if I only had one of these or one of those or one of these or one of those, you know what? We just want more and more and more, and that covetous spirit comes in and we start complaining about this and that, then we have to be careful, because that spirit, that attitude is saying, God, what you have given me is not enough. I submit to you that we are very blessed. As Paul said, I am full. And I want to encourage you tonight that as a believer, as a Christian, we are full. Number one, grumbling or complaining is saying God isn't a good provider. And we know if we're in our right mind, that's not true. God is a good provider. So be thankful. And that's the solution to all of this, by the way. We'll come to that. Number two. Got to keep moving because we have several things to discuss here. Number two, grumbling or complaining is almost always contagious. It's almost always contagious. Do you know the context of Numbers chapter 14? We won't take time to go back there, but we have to go back to, you would go back to Numbers 13, and you would be reminded that there were 12 men that went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. The whole nation did not go spy on Canaan, 12 men did. When they came back, the 10 men, the Bible says, gave an evil report. In fact, the 10 spies were brought back a report. They were afflicted with something of unbelievable, contagious issue called the grasshopper complex. The grasshopper complex. It's right there in the Hebrew. They looked at the giants, and they looked at themselves. They looked at the giants, they looked at themselves. They realized, man, those guys are big. Man, those guys have got bulging muscles. Well, I just thought, man, I have a little bit of a muscle there. Oh, my goodness. No, I'm just kidding. Man, those guys are big. They're ugly. They can chew me up and spit me out without any problem. And the Bible even says that they appeared in their eyes as what? Grasshoppers. They looked at themselves and they saw how small they were, and they decided they were defeated before the battle ever began. I submit to you tonight that many churches and Christians are afflicted by the same problem. The grasshopper complex. We look at our problems, we look at the giants in our life, and we decide that there's nothing about us. And again, we start grumbling, we start complaining that God allowed this into my life, and God allowed that into my life, and God brought this into the church, and God brought that into the church. What is God doing? And it's almost always contagious. And it didn't stop with those 10 spies, because if you remember what we read a minute ago in Numbers chapter 14, it said that all of the people, the whole nation, is in an uproar now. They should have been knocking down the doors of Jericho. They should have been going into the promised land. And yet because of the grumbling and the complaining and the fear and the lack of faith in those 10 leaders, who I don't know if any of us can name one of them off the top of our head like that, but you know who we can name? Caleb and Joshua. Men of great faith, men of great advancing, men that really believed the promises of God and realized they were blessed. God had told them, you're going to be victorious. By the way, I honestly don't believe anybody should have even gone and taken a survey, quite frankly. If you read about it and look at it, God had already said, go, take it, go. The battle is yours. Canaan is yours. Why did they need to go look at it in the first place? While they looked at the giants and they looked at themselves, we read nowhere in that scripture where they looked at God. Hey, church, let's start looking back at God. Let's start looking back at our great provider. Let's start looking back at our sovereign king. Let's start looking back at the one who loves us. Let's start looking back at the one who allows things into our life for our good and his glory. Let's start remembering who's in control of Anchor Baptist Church. Let's start remembering about who's allowing things to develop in this world. It is our God and it is our king. He is in control. And I am guilty of looking at the problem, and I'm guilty of looking at my resources and lack thereof, and I'm guilty of that at times. And you know what that leads me to do? Murmur. Complain. I may not go to somebody and voice it, but I think it just as guilty. But eventually it does come out of our mouth, doesn't it? We never stop and look at God. By the way, He is greater than anything you and I will ever face in this world. He can cure the grasshopper complex if we will let Him. It started with the 10 leaders that returned with a faithless report of the land of Canaan. And in Numbers 14:2, all the congregation of the children of Israel are yapping. And it's one, can you hear it? It's one loud murmur and cry. So grumbling and complaining is number one, saying that God isn't a good provider. Grumbling or complaining is always contagious. Hey, let me talk to the kids right now. If you're the oldest in the family, if you're the leader in the family, sometimes it's not the oldest that's got that's moving and advancing. You need to set the tone of being someone who is thankful. Lead your family in that way, kids, teenagers, older kids in the home. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be a complainer. Because why? People are watching you. The little shorter ones are watching you. And what they're going to do is they're going to repeat whatever you do. How about if they just repeat your thanksgiving and your blessing until they get old enough to realize, right now it's copycat time. But eventually, they're going to be the ones leading the way. They're going to be the ones deciding how good God is. So it's almost always contagious, grumbling or complaining. Let's turn it the other way around. Number three. Grumbling or complaining is undervaluing God's provision. I want to show you this one. Go back to Numbers chapter number 11. It's undervaluing God's provision. You'll remember this when we read it. Look at Numbers chapter number 11. And let's look at verse number 6. And I'm gonna read it slowly, all right? Are you there? If you're there, honk your horn. Okay. Numbers chapter 11, verse number 6. Well, let's look at verse 5. We remember the fish. Isn't it always about the belly? I mean, goodness sakes. We're all guilty. Which we did eat in Egypt. Look what the next word says. Freely. What? Freely? What are you talking about? You had to make bricks. You had to work hard. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Woo! Look at these first two words of verse 6. But now. But now. Let's see. God has had them wandering in the wilderness, and they haven't had anything to eat, and they're starving. That's what we're going to read, right? But now our soul is dried away. There is, look at these next three words. Nothing at all. Liar, liar. Sandals on fire. Beside this manna. We have got nothing like we used to have in Egypt except this manna. Complaining, murmuring, grumbling is undervaluing God's provision. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills and beat it in mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. This wasn't because they lost grandma. It's because they were complaining. They were murmuring. They were blessed, but they were grumbling. Oh, if we could only go back to being in chains and bondage and fish. What? But hey, don't get so hard on the nation of Israel. We're as guilty as they are. We're as guilty as they are. If we could only have this or have that or have this. I mean, this is all we have. We undervalue the provision of God. Look at what you have tonight. Look at what we have tonight. Look at what God has given Anchor Baptist Church. I mean, God has given Anchor Baptist Church about 1,800 square feet that we can say, this is from the Lord. And it is His doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We shouldn't be looking around at what we don't have. That's what they were doing. They were looking around at what they didn't have, and they were saying, oh, if we only had, and they were complaining and murmuring and grumbling, and they were undervaluing what they did have. They could that manna that God gave them as it came down, as it came with the dew of the evening, it was everything that they needed, and nothing else did they need. Somehow their clothes were able to continue to last throughout all of that time and all of the effort that would go forth. God gave them everywhere, everything they needed. Everywhere they went, God took care of them. I'm reminded of 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's go there quickly, 1 Kings 19, and I'm reminded about the prophet Elijah. The prophet Elijah had just prayed chapter 18, 36 and 37. We won't look at it, but I'm just passing by it quickly for time. He had just prayed, and do you know what happened when he prayed? Who knows what happened? You know what happened, right? I mean, fire came down from heaven and licked up and lapped up the entire altar, the water, the stone, everything. But then look at what he says in 1 Kings 19:4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. Why is he doing this? Because in the previous verses, Ahab had told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, verse 1. And how he had slain, and Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. God had already blessed this prophet in his prayer and all of the journey leading up to this. God would surely take care. And here's Elijah getting into the grasshopper syndrome that, I'm scared and I'm fearing and God has just provided for me, but God won't take care of this need. Calling down fire from heaven was not enough. 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, grumbling or complaining is undervaluing. Number 3, undervaluing God's provision. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us, what's the next word? Richly. All things to enjoy. You know what that word richly means? It means abundantly. Abundantly. How can we undervalue the abundant blessings, the abundant riches of our God? I mean, there is no price tag that we can put on it because here Paul tells Timothy, God has given you richly, abundantly all things to enjoy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us, what? Thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service is not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant. Do you hear those words in these two verses of the great supply being enriched, bountifulness, abundant supply, also by many thanksgivings unto God. Grumbling or complaining is saying God isn't a good provider. Grumbling or complaining is almost always contagious. Grumbling or complaining is undervaluing God's provision. Grumbling or complaining, number 4, is a sin. It's a sin. Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's a sin. It's a sin like idolatry is a sin. It's a sin like fornication is a sin. It's a sin like cheating is a sin. Oh, you think, well, I can be a grumbler and it only affects me. That's like saying you can be bitter and it only affects you, which is not true. I can murmur and God and it won't affect anybody else. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, here's the blessing, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What more would we want? If we've got God, do you know what we have? Enough. And we have God. Philippians 4:11, the Apostle Paul learned to be content regardless of his surroundings, when he wrote, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm going to end with a little bit of a poem. The title of the poem is called The Grumble Family. You do not want to be part of the Grumble Family. There's a family nobody likes to meet. They live, it is said, on Complaining Street. In the city of Never Are Satisfied, the river of discontent beside. They growl at that and they growl at this. Whatever comes, there is something amiss. And whether their station be high or humble, they are all known by the name of Grumble. The weather is always too hot or cold. Summer and winter alike they scold. Nothing goes right with the folks you meet down on that gloomy, complaining street. They growl at the rain. Hello. They growl in the sun at the sun. In fact, their growling is never, ever done. If everything pleased them, there isn't a doubt, they'd growl that they had nothing to grumble about. Think about that one for a minute. But the queerest thing is that not one of the same can be brought to acknowledge his family name. For never a grumbler will own that he is connected with it at all, you see. The worst thing is that if anyone stays among them too long, he will learn their ways. And before he dreams of the terrible jumble, he's adopted into the family of grumble. And so it were wisest to keep our feet from wandering into complaining street, and never to growl whatever we do, lest we be mistaken for grumblers too. Let us learn to walk with a smile and a song, no matter if things do sometimes go wrong. And then, be our station high or humble, we'll never belong to the family of grumble. Instead, might we, like the hymn writer of old wrote, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one. We are blessed. We are full. We are daily receiving the benefits of God. Let us not be guilty of murmuring, which means complaining and grumbling. You say, but Pastor Turner, you don't know about, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I mean, it matters. I'm not saying that I'm not concerned. It really doesn't matter. It's really an attitude. Gratitude is an attitude. You have a choice to make. I was communicating with someone earlier in recent days, and it was a text message conversation, you know, and basically that's what I sent back to this individual. I said, so would you not agree with me that this, whatever it is that you're doing, is a choice that you're making? And the individual wrote back and said, yes, it is. It's just life. Life's just a bunch of choices, isn't it? You got a choice to make every day. Is the glass full, half full, or half empty? Right? You're going to find, Satan will always give you something to murmur about. But there's another song that says, with Christ in our vessel, we should be able to smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Sailing home. Christ in our vessel, we can smile at the storm. Let's determine tonight. No more complaining street. No more grumble family. We may think that we don't have everything we need. Let's be thankful and count our blessings.